I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World.
Let me tell you something. The United States of America is the most powerful nation on earth, period.
A recognizable voice there. That's President Barack Obama speaking to Congress last year.
People of the world do not look to Beijing or Moscow to lead. They call us.
This talk about America's greatness is pretty standard fare for a U.S. president. It's usually directed toward a domestic audience, but it is heard around the world, and it can sound very different if you're somewhere else. Writer Susie Hansen grew accustomed to hearing it in the years she lived in Turkey, and she says it left her feeling awkward, kind of like a kid who doesn't want to admit to her parents that she knew there was no Santa Claus. She writes about that in her new book, Notes on a Foreign Country, An American Abroad in a Post-American World.
Someone was recounting a story of people in Turkey sort of expressing happiness when September 11th happened. And this, look, is not all that common. I mean, there are many, many other foreigners who told me the exact opposite. Obviously, we remember that in Iran, they were lighting candles. And, there was an outpouring of... But the reason why it was interesting to me was that it was Turks who would have felt that way. And that was when I thought, well, wait a minute, what did we do to Turkey? I had no idea what they were talking about. And I think that the shattering thing about those kind of moments was that the foreigners, and Greeks were like this, Egyptians were like this, Iranians were like this, they knew us. They knew this history. It was part of them. It was so deeply part of them. And it wasn't at all part of me.
There's also the example of how your father worried about you. There's this moment early in your trip, he sends you an email, timestamp 3 a.m., and it says, Susie, did you know that Turkey is 99% Muslim? Are you out of your mind? What was your answer to him?
Well,
what does that say about your mindset at the time?
September 11th made everybody so scared. My reaction to my father, whose politics I would say are extremely different from mine, was, well, you know, in Turkey it's different. They restrain Islam on some level. They even restrict where women can wear a headscarf. There was some part of me that believed that the Islamic world or Islamic countries or the religion of Islam needed to be restrained was something that I later realized I really needed to examine and really needed to understand. I say in the book, we all kind of lost our minds a little bit. And I think it's very important to remember that we had this reaction of, what are we going to do? We have to fix something. We have to fix this. We have to intervene in some way. And that's because we believe in our own sort of goodness and our good intentions.
Yeah, over the course of the years you spent in Turkey and then traveling to Greece and Egypt, Afghanistan and Iran, you begin to see the world differently. You start processing this stuff and you begin to draw some conclusions about what it means to have grown up in an empire. What begins to crystallize for you?
One's foreign policy, especially if it is the most powerful country in the world, has something to do with who you are. It has something to do with your own confidence in the world. It has to do with the way that you see yourself. I mean, to a large degree, I think of a lot of the things that are happening right now in the U.S. with Trump and everything else has to do with white Americans, often white men, feeling very, very threatened by what they see as this decline in their own status, which is not just domestic. I do think that it's also international, and I think it's terrifying. And liberals also are, and the left, heartbroken to discover that American exceptionalism was a myth to a very large degree. And when I went abroad, I could not see it that way anymore because the majority of what I was hearing from foreigners was about violence and violence against them.
You know, this really hits home for me because my younger self took off from the States in the mid-80s. I went to West Africa with the Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. And the notion there was that America and Americans can do good in the world. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that in a post-9/11 world, that idea is just passé?
I don't think we can figure out what that good is, whatever the definition of that is, until we can reconsider this history and have a very, very serious conversation about it. And until individuals are made to feel as if it is part of them and part of who they are, who they have been. And I think that once they, I would hope, I mean, this is a little bit optimistic on my part, but I would hope that people would think, well, okay, maybe the way that I have interpreted my history and interpreted the idea of, you know, what it means to be American has been false on some level. And what would I actually like that identity to be? Mm.
So can you relate that to this last question? I mean, one of the reasons you went to Turkey is because one of your literary heroes, the great writer and activist James Baldwin, spent a decade living there in the 60s. What sort of conclusions does he lead you to personally and intellectually?
He was, as I explain in the book, the first person to explain to me what it meant to be a white American. I had never really thought about it. And again, I was very conscious of race relations. It was one of my main, you know, academic interests. But I mean, I had never thought of myself as white American. I had almost thought of myself as not having any identity at all. And I think what Baldwin does is he very much explains to you who you are. What happened when Baldwin went to Istanbul, and he lived there on and off, he never wrote about Turkey, but he did give interviews to Turkish journalists, and he said, wow, you know, something very dangerous is happening here. This was in the 60s, remember, mm-hmm. So it's right after World War II. And he said the U.S. is starting to get so deeply involved in all of these countries. And of course, Turkey was one of the main ones because of the Truman Doctrine and the Marshall Plan. And he said, you know, this is dangerous, that a country that has not yet dealt with its own hatreds, its own racism, and its own dark and bloody history is now purporting to show the rest of the world or remake the rest of the world in its image. And I get the feeling from his words, it made him almost tremble with fear, you know, that this is really so dangerous. And I think that helped me to understand the relationship between whites and blacks in America and the relationship between Americans and people abroad. And that it was in many ways the same kind of power relationship, but one in which the white Americans were able to believe that they were innocent on some level. And I think that is also a very, very deep part of the American education system and American propaganda, which is to sort of keep telling us that, you know, we are innocent of our history and we're not.
I mean, I love James Baldwin. What does Baldwin tell you is the way forward?
There's two sides to his, I would say, different strains in his work. The one that I did single out in my book was love, was his ultimate, not solution, but what he was kind of encouraging, that it's the only answer, is what he said at one point. And that is something that as a younger person, when I was 24 years old and reading it, or 23, I didn't understand what he meant. It just seemed like a very simplistic thing. But I think that after living abroad and seeing the direct suffering many foreigners went through because of my own country, I did feel in response a kind of love. And I think that you do when you go abroad, because you feel a different kind of empathy and a different kind of affection and a different kind of relationship with the rest of the world and with individuals. And it is a form of love. And I think that once you start to feel that and feel that different kind of empathy, you would conduct yourself very, very differently.
Susie Hansen's new book is Notes on a Foreign Country, An American Abroad in a Post-American World. Susie, great conversation. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.